Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Trust the Process podcast, where we'll pull back the curtain on new home construction, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process, a podcast where we take you behind the scenes of real estate, new home construction, and everything in between. So we're going to talk today. I'm Krista. I'm joined by Michael Johnson, and we're going to talk today about 2024 as we close out from that year, looking forward into 2025 and what we predict or some of the forecasts that we might anticipate.
Read the tea leaves.
Yes. So looking at not just the Las Vegas market, well, we know that influences us specifically, that there is a bigger pendulum that swings in terms of the national market, and those are actually where most of the trends are set, and then Vegas obviously follows suit with that. So we wanted to take a broad look at a more national market and how it has affected the 2024 trends, interest rates, and you know, influencing just everything overall, and how that
everything
has,
in the industry,
how that has kind of trickled down to our market specifically. So it's kind of where we wanted to start today, and we're going to break it into two sessions. So we'll have our 2024, and then we're going to follow right with a 2025, kind of a prediction on where we're going to go with the next round. So you can, we'll do two back-to-backs here for you. I wanted to give you an opportunity. I know we've both looked at the 2024 market. Obviously, historically, we know what has happened. And so summarizing that in a way that allows us to see exactly where we are today before we take a look forward, what have been some of the things that you've influenced the 2024 market?
I think the biggest letdown was that interest rates just didn't budge the way that we thought they would. Of 23, they hit a high watermark of 8% around October 2023. And we thought for sure by October 2024, we'd be in a much better position, and that didn't bear out. We saw mostly middle sixes, high sixes. We hit the sevens many more times than I would have liked. And we never really saw that, despite a few rate drops by the feds, we didn't see that trickle on into the 30-year fix or the 15-year fix. Mortgage market, those are determined just off of supply and demand and how ready, willing, and able people are to invest in the mortgage-backed security market. How are people buying bonds? And as long as bond yields are where they are, interest rates are always going to be elevated until we see some confidence in the market come back to say, okay, inflation is under control, is not spiraling, and we'll see bond yields go down, which will help bring the 30-year fix and the 15-year fix mortgage rates down. Until that happens, we're just not going to see it, and it's nothing that the feds are going to be able to do. Despite lowering the prime rate down, it hasn't helped the 30-year fixed.
We talked a lot about the shock of that and what that meant for people after having been at rates that were 3%, 4%. I mean, extreme lows that those sixes, sevens, eights were shocking to people. And so it really influenced the market as a whole because people were shy to buy at that time.
It did. And what was a disappointment for me, I mean, 2024 ended up being a great year for equity, a great year for new home construction, a great year in the real estate market, a great year for trust home builders, a great year for me. But what I would have liked to see is more normalization in the mortgage market, because it's really skewed, an already skewed housing market that's increasingly unaffordable for the average consumer. And I did not see any relief from that in 2024, and I don't know that we're going to see much of it in 2025. That's for our next episode. But despite all of that, we saw some decent appreciation nationwide. Depending on what figures you look at, we're around 4%. And I'm not exactly sure where 2024's inflation rate landed, but I would bet real estate appreciation outperformed inflation, even in a hyperinflationary or in a period of inflation, which is a testament to real estate as an asset class, but also on the other hand, a little depressing that we still saw elevated mortgage rates and elevated home prices that are continuing to appreciate. We'll talk about that throughout the course of the podcast, but it's important to note that it's a supply and demand. And when you have a supply shock, or you have shocks to the industry that bear out as supply shocks. So the first one that comes to mind would be the GFC, the global financial crisis. So 2008, lending, everything collapses under its own weight. Builders are stuck holding the bag. A lot of medium and small builders that weren't publicly traded left the business or went bankrupt. They were no longer creating inventory for us. So we saw consolidation, and now we're left with this collection of 15, 20 publicly traded home builders, maybe not even that many. If I had to count them out, probably couldn't give you more than 15 major home builders that drive the entire market. So of our generation, supply shock number one. Get back to our footing. A lot of markets, Southern Nevada market got hit exceptionally hard, so it took a lot longer for builders to gain their confidence to come back into the marketplace and add inventory, which helped our home values rebound a little bit quicker. But the stability wasn't there to break ground on a 500 home master plan.
There was just a fear. Lied in that lots of permits had been pulled.
That's right.
So there was the potential for a lot of build, but builders sat on it.
A lot of holding back. Yes. And a lot of land was locked up in bankruptcies and locked up in foreclosure. A lot of our small and medium-sized builders locally went under, and that land was stuck in bankruptcy courts and in asset sales and things like that. And even had builder had wanted to develop and get motor humming again, couldn't do it. There was nowhere to do it. I think that we had a lot of things to sort through, and that took us till about 2015. And then we run for a good 4 years, 5 years, second supply shock, COVID, which started off as a crisis of confidence, and builders pulled the plug on a lot of things, had permits sitting. And in Las Vegas, you could skateboard down the strip, a strip that hosts 44 million people a year. It was dead. It was barren. Builder confidence was on a scale of 1 to 100, probably a 2.
In the beginning
of the pandemic.
So, I mean, it proved to be a really great time.
It really did. A lot of it was quantitative easing. The Fed's pretty much just dumped a bunch of money into the money supply, and savvy investors flocked to assets, especially non-fungible assets like homes.
Right.
And real estate had what I thought was a bit of an asset bubble, and I thought was propped up by low rates, and ended up not being that way. We haven't seen any pullback. We've seen pullback in the rate of appreciation.
Sure.
But we're still seeing appreciation.
We are.
Like, I'm gaining 10 pounds a year. Now I'm only gaining 3 pounds a year. You're still getting fatter. And you're going to have to get control of that. So that's kind of what we're seeing here. So then we're at, got some quantitative easing. Rates are dropping as low as 2% in 2021 for some people, getting 30-year fixed in the twos. Which was an unnaturally low rate. We knew it was going to be, and we knew the party was going to end. What I thought was bolstering a lot of home values turned out the demand really was there. And let's go to supply shock number three in the last 15 years was the spike in interest rates. So by April 2022, we're only about 2 years in to that. Appreciation was on the order of 25% nationwide in 2021. Early 22, when inflation data came out, yields went through the roof. When bond yields went through the roof, we saw rates go pretty much overnight from 3.75 for an average 30-year fixed to 4.75. I'm talking in the span that people were under contract. And a 1% rate bump on a $500,000 mortgage is $5,000 a year in interest, which is around $500 a month in your monthly mortgage payment. So you're getting ready to sign your docs. You didn't lock. You had 2 weeks. You did your home inspection. You did your appraisal and you did all that. You're ready to sign at what you thought was a $2,200 mortgage payment, now is a $2,850.
Right.
And some people just literally no longer could qualify.
If you're right on the line, if you're just barely qualified, buyers are just barely there
that's
by
right.
the margin. And if there's that little bit of swing, knocks them right out of the game.
Exactly. So we can't sustain those payment shocks. And spoiler alert, a lot of move up and move up two buyers stretch it as well.
For sure.
Right. So as though really had a lot of canceling. Right. It really had... We saw a lot of cancellations kind of start in the beginning of quarter two, 2022. So now builders are sitting here again saying, wait a minute, we just ramped up all of this new home construction. Pulte, not to name names, auctions more or less, sealed bids for their homes. And they would have sealed bids even for parcels that they were going to build your home on. You would have to state what you were willing to pay for that home. And it was shooting in the dark. You had no idea. 2,300 square foot home, $9.50.
Bidding wars.
It wouldn't. You wouldn't even get it. You would have one shot, and you'd have to have non-refundable deposits. And okay, someone went $9.70. So try again next time. And 2 years later, rates go through the roof.
Right.
We thought 4.75 was scary, and then we saw them tick right past, well into the fives by the late summer of 22. We're seeing sixes. Yeah. And then we were starting to flirt with sevens in late 22, and most of 23, we were sevens and eights. Mm-hmm. We didn't spend a lot of time over eights, but we didn't, not much.
But
it was enough to scare you.
Yeah,
to see it start with an eight was as absurd as seeing it start with a two a couple of years earlier. Right.
That's true.
Right. So now you're a builder, you've got a lot of exposure, and your development projects are 5 to 6 years on the horizon if you're doing massive master plan communities and things that really add a lot of inventory. Those are long horizons, and at minimum a 30 to 48 month horizon, and the market can change a lot in that time period. So we're seeing that bear out in the numbers, and that the reason I had a 12 minute lead up to the statistics are what they are, but the why behind them, you're not going to remember the statistics, but you'll remember the why. And we still saw around 4% price growth. We saw new home sales. This is for 2024, and this is for nationwide. We saw new home sales as total number of homes sold up about 2.5%. So a lot of that was just simply having the inventory. So builders worked through the supply chain shortages of 2022 and, late 21. Mm-hmm. And we started to finally see that inventory bear itself out in 2024. Builders had the confidence to say, okay, I'm not going to wait 4 months for windows. I'm confident to start these homes because I'm not going to have a whole house done and they can't get a dishwasher.
Right.
Right. So we had the confidence. We saw the supply chain really iron itself out by early 23.
Yeah,
right. And overall, I would say we've became more normal than it had been. And builders had a lot of confidence to then, okay, let's start. And then boom, you get the high rates. Hey, well, about can people still sustain these high rates? People still buy homes? And largely they did. Home builders nationwide built about 1.4 million homes in 2024. About 950 to a million of those are single family. The balance is multifamily, condo, townhome. Not all of those are for sale. Most of the single family stuff ends up for sale. It ends up being purchased. A lot of the multifamily, I would say, gets kept into hedge funds and things like that that end up being apartment complexes,
investors,
as you think of. Yeah. But it still adds to the numbers. So it was a good year. Now, for reference, in 1985, we built 1.7 million homes, and our population was 100 million people fewer.
To highlight this market fact, in 1985, the U.S. population was 238 million, and we built 1.7 million new homes that year. In 2024, the U.S. population was up by more than 100 million people from what it was in 85, and despite that increase, we built 300,000 fewer homes. This just highlights the growing housing shortage in this country, and we'll talk more about that U.S. housing crisis and the implications on affordability and accessibility in future episodes.
So we are still drastically underbuilt. Those sound like great numbers, but we are still wildly underbuilt.
You think about so many more people, fewer homes under construction.
It's a population that's gone up about 33%. In a sick twist of irony, the amount of new homes completed is about 33% lower than it was in 85. Just astounding, and we could have an entire episode on why that is. It's not just builder greed. Part of it is the consolidation of the builder market and energy efficiency. Homes are way more expensive to build now. Buyers demand larger homes. Development projects don't pencil out unless you build larger homes. And the country has moved around. The country has moved out of the Northeast Corridor. A lot of those places are losing population, and people are moving to Sunbelt states that are not equipped to have 100,000 people a year move there. The Denvers of the world, the Houstons of the world, the Las Vegases of the world, the Phoenixes of the world, we're not built for that. So it's not just how many doors you have, it's where are they? And without them being in the right places, if we have this migration, people around the country, we're always going to have it. And Las Vegas is a great microcosm, which is why in the second part of this episode, I want to talk largely about Las Vegas and use it as a microcosm for the rest of the country. I think it'd be a good time to transition to that.
Great.
To 2025. So we'll see you in the next episode.
Yes, we will. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.